Okay, hi. I'm Chloe. I'm part of the team here at Metro, and it's an absolute privilege to be able to be doing the talk here today. Now, you might have picked this up already as you've walked through the door. We are doing a thing called Love Running. Now, yeah, really. Now, we've kind of been mentioning this since the beginning of January, so I'm really sorry for any of you who really do know what Love Running is. But for some of you here today, you might be here because of Love Running. You might have signed up to do the run, and you saw Philip's thing online, and you thought, oh, that's kind of intriguing. So if that's you today, a really warm welcome to you. For anyone who's really new and has just walked through the door and hasn't got a clue what Love Running is, here at Metro, about half of us are running the Bristol 10K, joining up with about 500 other people in Bristol to raise money for Syrian refugees and some Bristol charities. And to tie into that, this week we're in our first week of our new series, Running High. Now, for some of you, you're thinking, oh my goodness, not more running, Chloe. Like, I don't think I can hear any more about running. But don't worry, whether you love running, whether you hate running, or whether you're now going, yeah, I probably should start training for that run I signed up to you. This is absolutely for you, okay? Because the Bible uses running as a metaphor for doing life. And we thought, hey, you know, with running on our brain, doing our bit of training, why don't we look into that? Why don't we look at, okay, what can running teach us about doing life? And are there any principles of running that we can apply to us to keep us spiritually in shape? Now, a suggestion was made for authenticity purposes that I do the whole thing on a treadmill in my full running gear, head torch included. But to save everyone from that pain, I vetoed that suggestion. Because I go as pink as my T-shirt is as well, so you don't really want to see that. Because when we run, or if you've ever seen anyone run, it's not without its pain, right? Like, there can be a bit of pain involved. Now, I try and do my running on the way back from work. So I'll change into my running gear at work, and then I'll get in my car, drive somewhere, and I'll pull up. And I'll turn the engine off, and the heating's been on, so it's lovely and warm in my car. And I'll start hearing the rain on the top of my roof. And I'll start feeling the wind against the side of my small little Corsa. I'm like, oh no, really no. Chloe, this was not a good idea. I'm like, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to be good. I'm in my running gear. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go! No. But this week's been really stressful at work. And I'm hungry. And I'm tired. And you know what? I've got that really sore, like, left toe. And if I run, it's just going to get worse, right? And it's getting dark out there now. The more I wait here, it's getting dark. That's unsafe. I can't run in the dark. No, I'm going to go. 3, 2, 1, go! No. There's a pack of biscuits right by me, and it's nice and warm in here. I'm wearing my running gear. That counts, right? Surely that counts. I mean, I could just say that I went for a run. It's a thought that counts. I could sit here and eat biscuits. And maybe I could just give extra money instead of being sponsored to actually do the running. I could just give all the money. And I'm sat there and I'm thinking of all the excuses why I can't possibly go running. Like, not at all. But the intention is there, and I know the goal, I know why I should go running. And to begin with, when I signed up, I was really enthusiastic. I'm like, yeah, let's do this, it's gonna be brilliant. But now the reality is hitting, and things feel a bit hard, and I just don't want to go. Plus, there's nobody there to hold me to it. There's nobody there to physically push me out that car door to go. Now, maybe you lot are all a lot more disciplined than I am. Maybe this isn't a problem for you at all. But I've often wondered, how do athletes do it? Like, how do they give the best part of their lives to staying trained and progressing? How on earth do they do that? Now, a couple of years back, we had the tour of Britain go through Bristol, and I went to watch the cycling at the bottom of my road with my brother, and I remember going, Dan, I can see all the cyclists, but why are there cars in the road following them? Surely they know the road is closed, right? This is a cycling event. And he laughed at me and had to explain that actually, Chloe, each individual cyclist comes with its car. They come with their set of bicycles, just in case there's brakes, and they come maybe with a coach, a dietitian, a physio. There is a whole team of people around that one cyclist. And the same with like tennis players like Andy Murray. Yeah, they're really good in their own right, but a lot of their success is attributed to having a really great team around them. Because let's face the fact that we are pretty pathetic on our own. Like, really pathetic. And chances are, if you want to go to the gym, you might take a gym buddy to make sure you go. Or if you want to lose weight, we might go and join a losing weight kind of group, again, to make sure we go, to make sure we're held accountable. Because it's just a fact that we're better together. In fact, it's a sociological fact. It's an actual thing. It's called social facilitation. And that says that we as humans perform better when we're with other humans. So that means with running, we run better when we're with other people. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. We actually do it better. We run our spiritual journey better when we're with other people. Now, you might be sat here, and you've been a Christian for a while. So, you know what, in your head, you're a bit of a seasoned spiritual runner. You've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. But there are points you're going, you know what, I feel like I'm just lapping the block now. I've seen that lamppost before. And monotony hits in at points in your faith. And you're like, I just don't know how I can keep doing this. Maybe you're here today and actually you're quite new to the whole God thing. You're quite new to journeying with God. You haven't been on the track long. And to begin with, much like me and my running, you were super psyched. You were super motivated and enthusiastic. But now kind of that motivation has waned a little bit. There have been distractions. And really, you quite like to hang up your spiritual running shoes because there are far comfier options. Or maybe today you're not even on the track and you are just looking at everyone else running their race and you are just exploring that. Now the good news is, no matter where you are in your journey with God, we're not asked to do it on our own. We're not asked to keep progressing, motivated, learning, all in isolation. So why then do we treat faith as such a, it's personal, it's private sort of thing? Why do we do that? Now, we're not the first group of people to be looking at, okay, should faith be done in isolation as a bit of a solo run? Or should faith be done as a running our spiritual journey with others? In fact, some of the main running life metaphors are found in a book called Hebrews, which is in the New Testament of the Bible. Now, we're going to be kind of dipping in and out of this book over the next few weeks because it's got some really good stuff to say about that running metaphor. But today we're looking at what it says about running with others. Now, the thing with Hebrews is we don't actually know who it was written by. We don't know their name or their gender or their background. But what we do know is that Hebrews was a letter written to a group of early Christians who just wanted to give up. They wanted to hang up their spiritual running shoes and be done with the whole thing. And for pretty good reason. In fact, at that time, they were being fiercely persecuted for their faith. Now, some of them had sort of hung on, one foot in front of the other. Gosh, we can keep doing this. Others had shrunk back, they really had hung up their running shoes, and still others were in danger of compromise. They were swerving on and off the track. And many of them had given up meeting together, because being church, meeting together, marked them out as a follower of Jesus. It marked them out as, hey, they're a Christian. And they really did, there was so much pressure and stress, and they really did risk death. Now, Hebrews is a book all about endurance, about sticking the track. And the writer opens the letter up talking in a way that a lot of New Testament writers do. They talk about Jesus. They talk about the hope that they have in Jesus and what their faith is anchored in. But today we're going to be picking it up as they start to share their top endurance tactics for how they can keep persevering, for how they can run their spiritual journey better. And we'd think, with the kind of background of persecution, that the advice would go something like this. Okay, guys, I know you're being persecuted, so here's what I suggest. That you go into your house, lock the door, batten down the windows, turn the lights off, hide those Bibles, hide them, and do not meet together. Like, guys, lie low for a while until the whole thing has blown over and you'll be safe. But amazingly, that is not the advice that the writer gave. In fact, it's so far from it, as we're going to have a look today. Right, bizarrely, at the moment, I get running emails, and recently I got sent a very well-timed article called Why Running With Others Is Better. I thought, oh, that sounds intriguing, I'll have a read. And what was interesting was what the top runners were saying about why they choose to run with other runners. But even more interesting was that this seemed to directly link with what the writer of Hebrews' advice was to these early Christians. Now, the first top endurance tactic that the writer of Hebrews gives is, he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. They're encouraging these Hebrew believers, hold on to that faith you've got. Hold on to the promises of Jesus, who he was, what he came to do, what that means in the here and now, and the promises you've got for the future, that hope. But this doesn't just like a nice remind yourselves of the hope you have in Jesus. This wasn't like an inward self-reflection kind of meditation exercise. No, this was a let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. A let us and a we. That's a team thing, a collaborative thing, a thing that needs to be done together. So why was this to be done together? Well, the running article that I was reading that caught my interest was saying things like, as a solo runner, we're much quicker to forget the point of why we're running. So we're much quicker to give up. But that if we're running with others, that quite frankly, there are lots of people going in the same direction. We're all on the same track. We've got a shared focus. And that when they had a shared focus, it meant that they were much less likely to cut their run short or to slack off the pace. And these top runners were saying that when they had the shared focus, it meant that they had accountability. They had people who were running shoulder to shoulder with them, who knew when they were there, people who really cared about how they were doing. And I was reading this article, and runners were saying that the top reason why people stop running is because they lack that accountability. But that when we're running with others, they were saying, oh, you've got people around you who can remind you when you need it most what the focus is, whether that's the weight loss, the marathon, increasing your time. And they were saying that having those people around you makes it that even in winter, you get up, show up, and get those miles in. And the writer to the Hebrews is recommending, hey, let's do this reminding ourselves in a group. Let's do it as a group thing, a community thing, a running with others thing. And to us too, right? When we solo run our spiritual journey, we can get a bit distracted and we can kind of start swerving around a bit. Lots of things come into our lives and we can kind of forget what the focus is. But when we've got other people who are running our spiritual journey with us, well, we're all going in the same direction. We've got the same focus. There are people around us. And they can remind us that we have this focus. It can keep us focused. One of the main reasons as Christians in our spiritual journey that we lose focus is because we lack that accountability. But if we've got other people running with us, they can remind us, hey, this is what it's all about. This is Jesus' promises for your life. This is Jesus' way of doing things. So running with others keeps us focused. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to share their next top endurance tactic. They say, and let us consider how we may spur one another along towards love and good deeds. Spur. Spur is an interesting word here, right? Now, I'm going to need you guys for this. What springs to mind when I say spur? Like, what's that about? Harry Kane. Say it a bit later. Is that Harry Kane? Was that a footballer? Okay. Yeah, football joke. Thanks for that. I'm not going to get that. Yeah, it's fine. Anything else other than a Harry Kane?
Cowboys.
Anything else? Yeah, so Cowboys was my first thought as well. I'm like, spur. All I know about spur is that's like when you kick a horse from behind to make it go, right? Surely the writer can't be talking about kicking people from behind to get them to move forwards towards something. Thankfully not, but it is something that's equally as powerful. The verb here means to like stir up or incite or provoke, like to push someone forwards into something, to urge them on to do something. Now, a while back, I did this really stupid thing. I knew this group of people, and they were one person down for a night orienteering hike in the Mendips. And I'm like, come on, how hard can that be? I can walk, I've got legs. It's not going to be that bad. I don't mind the night. So I rock up in borrowed shoes, realise that I've got the wrong kit and that I can't actually use a compass. So it's not going well at that point. Now, the rain starts chucking it down at this point, and there's gale force winds, and the organizer's like, oh, should we cancel this? And everyone's like, oh, we're really keen. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Get me out of here. But they're like, let's do it anyway. Now, we did okay, but we got to the point. It was really late at night, and we had to reach our last checkpoint. And it was up the top of a hill, and we weren't going to get there just by walking. And so my team were like, yeah, we're going to have to jog it. And I'm there, and I'm like, my body has given up on me. My shoes have given up on me. My legs were like jelly. I couldn't move one leg in front of the other. And it actually took my team gathering around me and taking it turns to put their hand on my back and jog me up that hill in the right direction to get where I needed to go. And for the Hebrew Christians, those early believers, the writer's saying, hey, spur each other on. even when it feels like a jog up the hill in the nighttime. Spur each other on, move each other forward, advance each other into love and good deeds, into what Jesus has taught you, even when times are tough, even when things feel hard. Now, the running article that I was reading was talking about how, as a solo runner, we're quite quick to stagnate in our running ability. In fact, our pace can kind of drop off a bit, and we can really plateau in our running ability. But these runners who were club runners were saying that when they run with others, they're much more likely to stay advancing in their skills. They're much more likely to, you know, keep going because they're naturally urged on by the pace of those around them. We know, right, that if we want to get quicker at running, we need to run with faster people. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Often when we're running it alone, when we're doing the whole thing alone, we just get a bit comfy. We can kind of plateau. We go, oh, it's all right where I am right now. But it's quite monotonous after a while. But if we're running it with others, we're way more likely to keep advancing. We've got people around us who can be like, hey, this is how we can be more Jesus-like. We've got people challenging us. Hey, how are you doing that? How are you applying what we learned on Sunday to your daily life? How is that making a difference? We can't stay in the same spot if someone's spurring us on. We just are going to naturally pick up the pace of those around us. Plus, there's always points in our spiritual life and our life where it feels like a jog up the hill in the nighttime, where we just can't move from the spot we're in, where our legs feel like jelly. And in those times, knowing community is a really powerful thing. To have those people gather around you and lend you a little bit of their strength just when you need it most. That's incredible power. So running with others can keep us focused. Running with others can keep us advancing. And the writer to the Hebrews doesn't stop there. They said that all of this is to be done in the context of not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So here the writer really, really spells it out. He's saying, do not give up meeting together. This is important stuff, guys. Again, not quite the perseverance advice we were thinking he'd give. Because the next thing also centers around community. He says, encourage one another. Something that really can't be done in isolation. There's only so much encouragement you can give yourself. You need other people to do that. So what has encouragement got to do with endurance? Well, to encourage means to put courage in somebody. So think about the situation these early Hebrew believers were in, right? They're being persecuted, there's lots of fear, they risk death. But to have people around them, shoulder to shoulder, who are encouraging them, putting courage in them, saying things like, hey, I loved how you talked to that person about Jesus. Or, hey, I love how you're still meeting with these people, even though you risk death. That emboldened them to keep going. When we think about the people in our lives who are the most encouraging, isn't it true that when we're around them, we feel like we could do anything, like we could tackle anything because they're encouraging us? And the running article I was reading was talking about that as well. It was saying that encouragement is so important because as a solo runner, without encouragement, that runner's high can kind of quickly wear off. And the novelty of running, well, it becomes less of a novelty and more of a hard thing to do. But that when we're running with others, we get encouraged, we get cheered on, we get supported. And these runners were saying, interestingly, that it does a number of things. And the first was that when they're encouraged, it actually increases their speed. They go faster. And increasingly, sports studies are suggesting that encouragement is far greater at positively influencing someone's performance than criticism is. And the next thing is that encouragement is an amazing, apparently, amazing at keeping anxiety under control on race days. So here we go again, that encouragement is an incredible antidote to fear. That when someone's encouraging you, they were saying that they feel emboldened to try new things, to go new distances, to go further, to go faster. And they were just saying, hey, it's more fun when we do it together. We've got that shared community, that shared experience. Again, a couple of years back, one of my friends ran a 10K, and I think he was going to go, we were only going to see him like once or twice as he went round. So we were like, oh, we'll go and support you. But there was a lot of time to kill in between. I think he was quite slow as well, so there was a lot of time to kill in between. But we found we could entertain ourselves because a lot of people had written their names on their running numbers. And so we'd sort of clock their name as they were running towards us. And as they passed, we'd go like, come on, Paul! Come on, Jen! Now, most of them would be pretty surprised that these randomers were sort of yelling their name, but more often than not, what would happen was that people would sort of look at us and then burst into a smile and start running with more spring in their step, with a little bit more energy, a little bit faster, a little bit further, because of our encouragement. And the same is true in our spiritual lives, right? When we're running with other people who can encourage us, we feel that joy. We feel good about what we're doing. And feeling loved and valued and like what we're doing is of worth and appreciated is so key to want to do anything, to want to keep doing anything. Plus, when someone encourages us, we want to do more of that thing. If you said to me, Chloe, I loved how you prayed for that person, I want to do more of it, even if it was a hard thing for me to do, because your encouragement emboldens me to keep going. So running with others encourages us. Encouraging us keeps that runner's high and emboldens us to keep on going. It gives us that endurance. So running with others keeps us focused. Running with others keeps us advancing. And running with others keeps us encouraged. And it was like the writer to the Hebrews knew this. Well, in fact, they did know all this. Because despite that backdrop of persecution, of meeting together being so incredibly hard, all of their endurance advice is centered around community, is centered around running with others, centered around running their spiritual journey together. Because they knew that this would be the thing that would keep them focused, advancing, and encouraged in their faith. And the same is true with us in our spiritual journey, right? Like, running with others is a good thing. We want to run our spiritual journey with others. But it's not just oh, that's a nice thing, Chloe. In fact, this looks like it is vital to our endurance. That when we solo run, we are not going to stay focused, advancing, and encouraged in the same way that when we run with others. So how practically, then, do we do that at Metro? Well, you're doing it right now. Here at Metro, we love to meet together on a Sunday. We really enjoy getting together with fellow runners, regardless of whether we're a seasoned spiritual runner or whether we're just starting out. And we love to come together and do that on a Sunday. We love to come together and get focused to look at a Bible passage or a theme. We love to come together on a Sunday and get advancing in our faith, to go, okay, well, how can we link this to where we are at right now? We love to come together and be encouraged for our week that's about to come. But I discovered when I was doing that cheering on at that 10K race that a generic, come on, was good. But it wasn't nearly as good as when we knew that person's name. Cheering on is far more successful when we're known personally. And here at Metro, we're growing loads, which is really great to see. But like, it doesn't mean that we know everyone personally. So at Metro, we've got these things called midweek small groups that we call hubs. And this is a chance where you meet together about 10 or so people who, with the aim of really getting to know each other personally. Now, your hub will know what things you're loving, what things are going really well, how that Bible reading's going, but also the stuff that you're finding hard, like how to love your boss or that family member that's just really annoying you. Your hub gets to know you personally. So while Sundays are great, hub is the best place to keep you focused. We come together and we can look at some of the stuff that we've been looking at on a Sunday. We can go, okay, what is our faith about? What kind of things are we focusing on? Hub is the best place to keep us advancing. Again, that we can take what we've learned on a Sunday and we can sit down together and go, okay, so how can we be more Jesus-like? How can we be bringing more of God's kingdom into the circles that we're walking in? How does this relate to where we are actually at in the here and now? Hub is the best place to keep us encouraged as well. There's nothing like being encouraged by people who know you well. And they can embolden you for the things you've got coming up, whether that's that work meeting. They can be like, yeah, we're praying for you. You can really be spurring each other on in circles where you know each other really, really well. So super practically today, if you are here and you're not already part of a hub, we would love for you to be in a hub. Now, the best way of doing that is on your seat, you've got a little Metro connection card. If you fill your name in and tick that you'd like to have more information about midweek small groups, we'd love to just send you a bit more about who runs them and where they meet and when they meet, just so you can know a bit more about them. We'd love for you to join one. And that's whether you today are a seasoned spiritual runner or just exploring. It really is for everybody. Or if today you're like, actually, you know what, Chloe, that is one step too far for me. I really am just asking loads of questions right now. We are going to be joining in with Woodlands Main again in the summer to run an ELFA course. ELFA is an amazing opportunity just for anyone to come and ask loads of questions about the Christian faith in a really informal way. Any question is great. And we want to have a group from Metro go and do that. So again, tick the box to say you're interested in ELFA, and we can put you in a group with others who are at the same pace as you, so you can still run with others. If today you're sat here and you are already in a hub, don't give up meeting together. Even when your work's tough, even when you're tired, even when your social life's really busy, even when your hub are annoying you, keep going. Keep on going. And as you meet as a hub this week, maybe think about, okay, like, what are we doing meeting together? I mean, it's great that we're able to be community and have that kind of social side of it, but really that's not where we want to stop. How as a hub are we being focused? How are we really delving into what God says and what our faith is about? How as a hub are we advancing? Are we actually putting this stuff into practice? Are we actually growing in our faith? Are we becoming more like Jesus with the stuff that we're learning? And as a hub, how are you looking out for the people who need a little bit of extra strength, a little hand on their back to keep them moving forward? And as a hub this week, look at, okay, how are we going and how are we encouraging each other? How are we emboldening each other to continue for the week that we've got to come? Because here at Metro, that's what we want community to look like. We want to be a community that's not just stagnating in our faith, sitting around meeting on a Sunday. No, we want to be focused, we want to be advancing, and we want to be encouraged. And running with others is the way to do that. Running our spiritual journey with others is the way to do that. Because nothing like running with others produces happier, healthier, better runners. So in a moment, I'm going to pray and the band are going to come up. But before that, today's big idea is running our spiritual journey with others is key for our spiritual health. It keeps us focused, it keeps us advancing, and it keeps us encouraged because we're just better together. Great, I'm going to pray and the bands are going to come up. God, I thank you so much for what you teach us about community and the incredible power of running our spiritual journey with others. I thank you so much that we don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to try and like muster up enough courage or motivation to do it. That you want us to run shoulder to shoulder with other people who are doing it too. Lord, I pray for those right now who aren't in those communities, that even this week you'd help them to get in and find those communities and fit in really well. That all here would know that they can belong and that they can be focused, advancing and encouraged as well in those communities. Lord, I pray for those existing hubs that we've got as part of Metro, that you would come and that you would use them powerfully, that we would become people who are growing and motivated in our faith, and that we would be learning to become more like you, Jesus. I pray for those who have had bad experiences with community that actually, that you would speak to them this week and you would renew a passion for wanting to do it with others, wanting to run their spiritual race with other people. Amen.